理课堂听 class.com。
Chapter 14. Sniffles was located in the small village of Stapi, with about 30 small cottages. The cottages were built on lava, a hard rock material that hardens after bursting out of a volcano as a fire-hot thick liquid called magma. I had never seen such an impressive structure, made entirely of lava over 500 years ago. My uncle decided that the day after arriving in Stapi, we would climb part of the way on the mountain, spending a few days there. After arriving in Stapi, my fears about the journey returned. I was worried that perhaps Sneffels was no longer a dead volcano. It could very possibly explode with fire-hot lava again, and we might be inside it during that time. I then spoke to my uncle about my fears. After a few moments of silent thinking, he said,
"Yes, I've been thinking about that as well. Ever since we came to Stapi, I've been concerned with this serious question. Sneffels has been quiet for 600 years, but it may awake again. I've questioned the local people and studied the ground, and I can tell you, Axel, that there won't be an explosion." I was so shocked at such a confident statement that I could not respond.
"You don't believe me? Then follow me and I will explain," my uncle said to me.
He took me to a natural hot spring nearby. There was steam rising from the water.
"You see that steam rising, Axel? They prove we have no reason to fear the volcano. When a volcano explosion is about to happen, that steam becomes more active, then disappears completely during the explosion because there is no more pressure coming from inside the earth to push the steam through the cracks in the earth. You can be certain there will not be an explosion in the near future. But enough. When science has spoken, there's nothing to reply."
I said no more. My uncle had used a scientific explanation to win an argument. The next morning, June 23rd, Hans had found two other men to help us carry our baggage into the mountain. It was 9 in the morning. We left Stapi to go climbing Sneffels. Chapter 15. Sneffels is 5,000 feet high. We walked behind our silent guide up the mountain. Although I still had many worries about our journey, I took an interest in the rocks and lava we walked through. I looked at the lava and rocks carefully as we walked further up the side of the mountain. Many parts of Iceland are covered in hardened lava, as the island has a great deal of dead volcanoes, from which hot liquid magma burst out many years ago, which dried into strange, smooth-looking lava. As we climbed higher, our journey became more difficult. The mountain became steeper, and there were many more loose rocks, which made our walking quite dangerous. Hans moved calmly, as if he were on level ground. My uncle stayed close to me as much as possible. He was always watching to make sure I was nearby. His arm often gave me strong support. After several hours of climbing up the mountain, my uncle saw that I was becoming rather weak and asked Hans to stop. He refused, telling my uncle there was a terrible storm coming. He pointed into the distance and I saw the storm approaching. We kept walking up, now quite quickly. Soon enough, the mountain shook as the storm crashed into the mountain. Luckily, our clever guide had led us around to the other side of the mountain. If we had climbed the mountain on the opposite side where we came from, we would all have been taken up by the storm and would certainly be dead. Finally, Just before midnight, we reach the top of Sneffels. Chapter 16. After a quick dinner, we settled down to sleep for the night. Surprisingly, I slept peacefully all night. It was one of the best nights I had spent in a long time. I didn't even dream. The next morning, we awoke to a chilly air. We soon began making our way into the mountain's crater. We had to tie ourselves together for safety reasons. If one person fell as he was climbing down, he would be supported by the others. We arrived at the bottom of the crater at noon. I looked up and saw the opening and saw a small bit of sky looking perfectly circular. At the bottom of the crater, there were three openings to take us into the earth. 500 years ago, fire-hot magma had come through those holes. Saknussemm had used the July sun to determine which hole to go into, as we would now do as well. Each of these holes was about 100 feet wide. I didn't have the courage to look into any of the mysterious holes. My uncle, however, had already examined them and continued running back and forth to make calculations about how we would enter one of them. Hans and his friends sat down and watched him, obviously viewing him as a madman. Suddenly, my uncle cried out and immediately called me to him.
"Axel! Axel!" he shouted. "Come here! Come here!"
I ran to him. Hans and his friends didn't move.
"Look,"
the professor said to me. I then understood the reason for his great shock and amazement. I looked down at a large piece of lava in the middle of the crater. I read, on the west side of the rock, in ancient Icelandic characters, the name Arni Saknussemm.
"Arni Saknussemm," my uncle said. "Now, do you have any doubts?"
Without answering, I went back to sit down, overwhelmed by this new finding. I don't know how long I sat there thinking, but when I finally looked up, I saw only my uncle and Hans on the bottom of the crater. Hans's Icelandic friends had been dismissed and had already climbed up the inside of Sneffels to return home. Hans was sleeping peacefully nearby, while my uncle was nervously walking around the crater, making arrangements for our continuing journey. I decided to go to sleep for the night, but I slept terribly, constantly hearing terrible noises or felt movements within the mountain, and that was how we spent our first night in the crater. The next morning we awoke to a gray, cloudy sky, which greatly upset my uncle. He knew we could not enter the earth, as we needed the July sun to show a shadow on one of the three holes in the crater. That was the hole we had to enter, just as Arni Saknussemm had before us. The day went by and still no shadow appeared. On June 26th, still no shadow. Hans built a small hut using bits of lava. My uncle was becoming more impatient. The next day, the sky was still cloudy, but on Sunday, June 28th, 2 days from the end of the month, sunlight came into the crater. My uncle waited with excitement until noon, when the sun would be directly above us. We then discovered that we would go through the middle hole.
"There it is! There it is!" he cried. "Let's go into the center of the earth," he added in Danish.
I looked at Hans. "Forut," he said calmly.
"Forward,"
my uncle translated for me. It was 13 minutes past 1.